Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said peace is a thing you can't achieve by throwing rocks at a hornet's nest. We're happy to have the opportunity of being with you today. We hope that in our study, something will be said that will be of profit to you. We've been talking about, this week, an occasion in 1 Kings chapter 13, when a prophet of God was told to go and prophesy against an altar in Bethel. He did that, but he was told not to eat or drink while he was there, nor to return by the same route. Well, another prophet got a hold of him while he was up there, and the prophet said that you're to come and eat at my house, and that those restrictions have been lifted. Well, what really happens was, the record says, he lied unto him. The older prophet lied to the young prophet, and the young prophet died before he returned home. I'm simply saying that there are consequences with lying, and consequences that you and I ought to consider, in particular in regard to religious lies. It's a bad thing to lie to a man about anything, but look at the consequence of lying to a man about his soul. There is no more precious possession that a man has than his soul. But if I lie to a man about his soul, then I'm going to have to answer to God for that, and I'll be responsible for leading that man in the wrong way. The origin of the lie is found in John 8 and verse 44, when Jesus said, "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Satan is the origin of lies. And so when I lie, I'm just simply doing the bidding of Satan. And the consequence of that is that the people who listen to that lie, regardless of how sincere or honest they may be, are in jeopardy as far as their souls are concerned. A number of passages point out the consequence of lying to a man in religious matters. I might note a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. This passage warns us that Satan changes himself into an apostle of light. Well, if he can do that, also his servants can change themselves until they appear to be those who are bearers of light, instead of telling that they are wrong in what they're doing. Satan doesn't come out before us and say, "Look at me, I'm a liar." He doesn't have his representatives tell you, "Now I'm lying to you. You listen to what I have to say because it's a lie." Well, no, that isn't the way it's approached. It is a deceitful matter, as lies are told to men. Sometimes those lies are told in all honesty and all sincerity. A person may honestly believe a thing to be right when he's not telling the truth. But even if he is sincere in telling that which is not true, he still is involving himself and others in the consequence of his not telling the Word of God or the truth. In the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, the record says that the Apostle Paul had called the elders of Ephesus to Miletus. And he was telling them of the things that he wanted them to know about because he was going to go on his way. He was going to leave them and perhaps would never see them again. Now, in view of that, Paul tells them that they know of the manner of conduct that he has had when he was in their midst. But he also makes this very clear. "I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I didn't keep back anything from you that was needful. And I have not shunned to declare, not falsehood, not superstition, not some religious beliefs that my fathers held on to." Paul says, "I've declared unto you the whole counsel of God. The importance of that is clearly seen by the illustration that he used coming from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, and you notice this in the book of Ezekiel chapter 3 and also in chapter 33, Ezekiel was told, "Thou art a watchman in Israel." Well, what did a watchman do? Well, he stood on the wall of the city, and if an enemy approached, he sounded the trumpet, and those who were in the city were warned. But if he didn't sound the trumpet, those in the city were not warned. Well, Paul uses that as an illustration to say, I'm free from the blood of all men. I've done my job. I have preached unto you the whole counsel of God. Suppose for a minute what Paul had taught was merely the doctrines and commandments of men. Would that have sufficed, and would that have taken care of his responsibility for him to teach the doctrines of men? Jesus said in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." It isn't hard to see by that particular passage that the doctrines and the commandments of men do not free men from their sins. They have their origin with man, and therefore they are not the truth that God recognizes. And so he's simply saying, these people who are teaching the doctrines and the commandments of men are doing that in vain. It is not a valid effort, and it will not bring forth fruit unto God. Why? Because of the doctrines and the commandments of men. You and I ought to understand then that the Word of God is right or truth. Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth, John 17 and verse 17. Therefore, when someone talks to me about religious matters, he needs to be talking about what the truth says, not the ideas of men. It's very possible that somebody has an idea that sounds good to him and to others that doesn't come by the authority of God. Well, of course, that must be rejected. Look at the Colossian letter, chapter 3, and verse 17. "Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." That passage simply says, anything you do, whether it's by word or deed, you do it by the authority of the Lord, not by the authority of men. The doctrines and the commandments of men do not save people. They constitute vain efforts. There are many in the religious world today who can only point to human doctrine to back up the things that they say in religion. They cannot find in the Word of God authority for the things they're saying. Isn't that what the passage means when it says, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord? That means by the authority of the Lord. And so what we do and what we teach other people in religion must be that which is authorized by the Lord and that which we can back up by using Bible passages that teach that particular matter. We'll continue to say more about this in our study tomorrow. I do hope you'll be listening and remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.